Welcome to Friday Night Live.
We made it through another week alive.
Good. We sure did.
This is my Florida dance.
Rob, your video is frozen.
Is it?
No, it's not on my end.
Oh, your video is frozen. Hey,
<I don't know. laughs>
welcome to Friday Night Live. We just got a donation, and I feel like we should read the caption in this donation. So this is from someone named Spiritual Singles exclamation point. It's important. I'm going to develop a new dating, friends, and networking app for non-vaxxed people to connect. Would love to have your feedback on a name. Here are the choices: sovereignsingles.com, sovereignmeet.com, sovereignmatch.com, sovereignworld.com. What do you guys think? And are you interested? As long as you don't call it non-vaxxed dating, you should be okay.
Why not spiritual singles? That's what I thought you were going to call it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think I like, of all those choices, sovereignsingles.com. But maybe singles, if you can buy the domain SOV singles, S-O-V singles, I think that most Americans can't spell sovereign.
I was going to say
that's true.
And if,
yeah, that is a kind of excellent point.
Yeah, and if you do get sovereignsingles.com, I would buy all the misspelling domains of it too, like the EI, like the IE, like Americans, unfortunately, like we've had Common Core education. So
yeah.
Well, that's why I was thinking spiritual singles sounds actually pretty good.
That was the marketing brain of Seth, like speaking to you guys right now.
I've bought so many domains. I've had to think through these things. So yeah.
Maybe we can come back to this in the show, and we'll think of some good names, you know, during the show, and then we can come back at it.
People in the chat might come up with some interesting names too, so that's pretty funny.
I like Jedi Dan, who says definitely not sovereign meat.
I was thinking like you're eating meat, right?
Yeah, that sounds like either a new Bill Gates product or something to do with Michelle Obama. I'm not sure which.
We're not sure which, but we're scared.
A lot more scary.
I found out yesterday that Michelle Obama, so the Obamas are doing a lot with Netflix, which we'll talk about Netflix today.
Yeah.
But she's actually piloting a show about children's education around food called, I think it's called Listen to Your Vegetables, Eat Your Parents. Like, that's really weird. Like,
are you sure?
No, I'm serious. Google it. I swear to you, because like I was reading about an article. Because I covered, you know, Netflix and stuff like that, my show yesterday, and I was reading an article. I thought it was satire. I was like, there's no way they're calling a show Listen to Your Vegetables, Eat Your Parents.
Dude, that's weird. That
Listen to Your Vegetables and Eat Your Parents.
That is, wow.
That's so whack.
What the heck?
That's like psychotic.
Dude, I was trying to find it, but I couldn't really find it. So all I kept seeing was waffles and mochi.
Well, maybe waffles and mochi is like the title of it, but then looks like sings, listen to your vegetables and eat your parents. This is insane. Well, it makes me happy that, you know, Netflix, I had the stock chart up on my show yesterday. In the last 6 months, they've lost 66.7% of their market value. That's insane.
That's way over half. I mean,
you mean the market, not subscribers, but the market.
Their market cap.
Is that just from losing subscribers?
Well, it's a handful. It's interesting because similar to CNN Plus, which is like has disappeared faster
which
than
is,
Jeffrey
yeah,
Toobin.
Gone.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. No. So what they do is that they come out and they're according to their official press releases, it's like, well, it's more competitive and, you know, there's more streaming services and blah, blah, blah. But fundamentally, it's like, if you look at it, it's like Oscars are down, CNN is down, CNN Plus has failed, Netflix has failed. or are failing, on the verge of failing, all the mainstream media trust is at the lowest point. It's like, to me, it looks like people are now realizing that they're serving up like satanic agenda crap, and people are just leaving. Like, I think that's the real cause. And then you have this. This is their new show.
This is their new show.
Yeah.
This is really what got people to really.
So, but I have a question. Why doesn't that guy lose weight? Like, he clearly drinks too much beer. why is she so proud of him and holding his beer belly? Like, this this is not something to be proud of.
The funny thing is that that's exactly like what Rob looks like when he takes his shirt off.
Man, I'm trying to be cool here, man. This is my space.
Yeah, only it's nachos and bang.
Well, yeah, so they've lost Netflix lost 200,000 subscribers now. This is the most that they've ever lost in the history.
They've never reported a loss of subscribers.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
Like, so they've only added normally in the past, if they didn't meet their target, it'd be a big deal, because, like, say they're expecting 1 million new that quarter and they got the 500,000 new that quarter. This is the first time that they've actually had a loss of subscribers. But their net positive number is a dip in subscribers. It's a big deal.
Yes.
This is a big deal.
This is actually
it's really funny.
Glorious.
Actually, I can tell you something. Let me tell you. Yeah. Last night was great for me. Because basically like no time to sleep, because I had to get on like a 6 a.m. flight, and I went to bed at probably 9:30, and I did not go to bed until 12:30 or something, because I could not stop like looking at all of the wins on Twitter that we had. It was crazy. Dude. It was like there was so much going down, like this news about AOC, which we're going to get into, everything going on with Elon. Just there was so much stuff that was happening. Just like with what you were saying with Netflix and everything and different businesses that were tanking, I was like, wow, you know, this really is, it looked so bleak for a long time. And I think, you know, things are starting to maybe swing back in the other direction. It felt like that last night anyway. I couldn't get to sleep.
It did. I mean, with CNN, with things with everything going on Twitter right now, which we'll kind of get into all of that. But like, okay, we're going to get into a discussion on Elon Musk later. But like, for example, you know, he did write Netflix tanked because of the woke mind virus, and woke mind virus started trending on Twitter. So, you know, it's just like these are some positive effects from all this stuff that's happening. And it's like what we're seeing with Disney too. I mean, these companies always need to look, every company that exists are always trying to figure out, you know, doing things for the stockholders, because as soon as the stockholders aren't happy, they can start selling, right? So every decision is based on like trying to generate more money to keep the stockholders happy. And now all of a sudden, the stockholders don't matter anymore. And it's what is being said on Twitter that matters. And these people are not even stockholders. They're just like commenting on random stuff. And it's this woke mind. And they're like, oh, well, we got to do this and this because people are commenting on this on Twitter. And we need to like change our things. And now we need to do this X, Y, Z. And the stockholders aren't happy. So they're selling their stock because of what's going on. And then on top of that, you have these companies that are just bowing to this whole entire cancel culture, woke mind aspect of things, and creating content that no one's watching.
Well, that's like the best part about this, is because it's not like it'd be really cool if, say, Nike has lost half its market cap because of its, you know, Colin Pumpernickel or whatever his name is, right? Or another company.
It's like, Colin Pumpernickel is his new name, I can tell you that.
That's awesome.
I don't know what happened there, but that was so far best thing that happened to this show. By all means, go on. I can't wait for the next part.
Yeah, well, no. So, but what it is if you look at this, and this is what's key, is what's the bigger picture of this? What are the companies that are failing? The companies that are failing are the tools of propaganda of the deep state. Like, that's what's failing. Like, it's CNN, CNN Plus, it's Disney, like, you know, like Andrew Breitbart, right? Politics is downstream from culture. It's the cultural movers. It's Hollywood, which is Netflix. So what this shows you is that people are really waking up. Like, people are realizing that these media companies, these corporations are actually basically like out to like, they want to kill everybody. Like they want to drive them to this sort of satanic future. And people are like,
look
at CNN Plus. Do you know what I mean? It's like, CNN Joke. Plus, they invested $300 million into CNN Plus.
Right? I thought it was $100 million.
No, it was $300 million. R&D and everything.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that I was joking about this the other day. It's like, so in communist China, they give you the propaganda for free. But here they're trying to charge people for the propaganda. It's like, look, if you give us 10 months, we'll give you really good propaganda. And people are like, I'm not paying you 10 bucks a month for propaganda and lies. So it's a really good sign. It's actually exciting.
You know, Seth, it's really interesting you brought that point up, because as we were talking about this, you know, what I realized is what's happening right now is the same thing that's been happening in China for a while, where they looked really strong on the surface for a while. They looked like they were winning. They couldn't stop winning, but their stupidity eventually caught up to them. And so the next thing is that this country and these like woke media, these woke companies are turning into companies that can't even build a car anymore. You know, they can't build the thing that they're claiming to build because they're so morally corrupt. There's no other place to go except to be stupid, to look stupid. And they're just being propped up by, you know, the the globalist piggy bank, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, give a quick shout out to Ropanok, who donated $50. And he said that,
I think his name was Pumpernickel.
Pumpernock. You said Truth Social has moved to Rumble Cloud. So open up your accounts. Will probably be open up by now. So
yes. I got on today. I'm on Truth Social now.
So as really Ben Chastain, that. Right? Or Ben is Chastain, it Ben Chastain or Ben Chastizzle?
It's Ben Chasternickel.
So Truth Social, and it looks like DWAC, they've now migrated over to Rumble's Cloud, which good for them. Like I like Rumble. Rumble is my favorite streaming platform. I love those guys over there.
Yeah, it's good. It is really good. So,
and hopefully getting better and better.
I was gonna say before all of this happened, what were we talking about right before all of this?
Bread,
Netflix,
Pumpernickel bread,
CNN Plus. Oh, CNN Plus. Yes. So I've been reading about it, and I guess Chris Wallace is like going off the deep end. Before he quit, he was like, I guess he was like every day he was just like yelling at people, and I mean, so this is insane. He had the highest rating show, which was only 10,000 views. And they were comparing it to like just the average YouTube channel. Like just an average YouTube channel gets more than 10,000 views right now.
Yeah.
So
and Jeffrey Toobin, he's just lost it. That guy's just
it's like you said, no, who wants to pay for propaganda? It's like
and everyone's becoming so painfully aware of how it's being produced. I mean, look at this satire tweet that we have here. From J-Rad Rebel, and they say, this is their quote in the tweet: I boarded a plane today with my son, and mid-flight the pilot announces that the mask mandate is over. Flight attendants sneeze directly into their hands while screaming, "This is MAGA airspace." My son turned to me in tears. I don't know what to do now. A New York Times reporter reached out to this person to ask questions about it, thinking that this was real. They couldn't distinguish satire from reality. And we don't have it here in the doc, but what did he responded? Like he responded to Victoria and it was really funny. It's right here, I think.
Oh, this is it, this is it.
Yeah. Hello, Victoria. I would love to discuss the incident and your earliest convenience. I was pretty upset about the whole thing. Unfortunately, it's satire that only someone at the New York Times would believe. In my time of contemplation, I was wondering how your team deals with the multitude of false stories that you peddle out daily to use as political propaganda. And if you could give me advice on how to take my satire to the next level, best wishes.
It's hilarious. It's so funny. And then everyone, people on Twitter were like, well, she's a reporter from Korea, so she doesn't know. And it's like, dude, she works for the New York Times, speaks English, and then over here,
she's
in the U.S. Like,
it's supposed to be the paper of record, people.
it's so crazy. It really is. But I mean, dude, all it takes is literally maybe 1 minute, 30 seconds checking his Twitter, and all this, you just see all this, like
all the satire.
Oh, like all this MAGA stuff. It's like, come on, you guys. Like, you didn't check his Twitter account and see what his banner is, like, on his page?
I mean, think about this from the journalist's perspective. Like, she saw this tweet at some point, and she said to herself, here's how I can get ahead. Here's how I can write a story that's going to get me in front of everyone else. Here's what's going to get me to look good in front of all of my bosses. And then it's satire.
Rob, I have a question for you though, Rob. So as it relates to this, are you zooming in from like 1985? Because I swear that pastel couch and the pastel painting behind you, it brings me back to Myrtle Beach in the 90s. Yeah.
No, that's true. I actually have connections, and this is the Golden Girl set from 1995 or 93,
maybe 92, 93, 94, somewhere around there. That's definitely 100%, especially the
Sophia Petrillo is my girl.
I love it, Rob. Actually, I've been to that location, and Rob is actually in a cabin up in northern Alberta. So he's it's part of a ploy.
Yeah,
I'm looking for Justin Trudeau up here because he's still hiding, and I figure if I go far enough out, I might see him.
Just say sorry a lot, and you'll blend in.
Right.
All right. So gentlemen, what do we have on the docket tonight?
Well, we got the we can talk about the libs of TikTok and that whole massive outing that happened to that channel. We also have like all the stuff that's going on with Disney, which is also positive. We kind of briefly touched on that. You know, that Ron DeSantis stripped Disney of their like whatever compound
basically they removed their ability to like self-govern, so they're like through this, it was set up in the 60s. It gave Disney it was almost like an independent government in Florida.
It was they had their own government. They were outside of any Florida government, and they did not need to pay taxes.
Yeah.
So
I just want to give a quick shout out as well to Tony Cuban, who gave a donation of $50 and said, he said, bring Rise TV to Fire Stick, and you should change the Friday Night Live name to TGIF and add a retro 80s 90s intro.
We could call it TGI Live. That's cool.
TGI Live. Yeah, we could call it that. That's pretty funny.
Thank God it's live.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ben, you were commenting on
Yeah,
Disney.
So the Disney thing, it really is a big deal. It's like a huge big deal because now you know, it's like internally I felt that if something were to happen within Disney, it's like, I mean, I kind of look at this the same way as like Monsanto or Bayer hiring their own company to do research. Here's a perfect example. It's Coca-Cola hiring their own company to see if obesity and sugar have some kind of correlation, and the study comes up inconclusive. So it's like, well, yeah, Coca-Cola is paying for this. This is a true story that actually happened. You know,
right.
So it's like the same thing with Disney. It's like, oh, we have some kind of problems with like maybe pedophilia. Oh, okay, let us look into it. We'll send our own people in there to investigate it. You know, and you don't hear anything.
Yeah, let's send our internal pedophiles out there to find out if there are indeed pedophiles.
So yeah, I think this way, you know, I mean, honestly, if I was one of these like higher ups, I would be a little bit nervous about what this actually means. And then the fact that they're going to have to pay taxes. Now, the mainstream media are blasting this, saying that, oh, now Florida residents are going to have to pay like $2 billion in taxes now or something. And I'm like, where does this even come from?
Actually, so that is true, though. Or go ahead, Ben. I'll let you finish.
It is. No, go ahead, Seth. No, go ahead.
So basically what happens is I now look, I'm not an expert on this by any stretch of the imagination, but I did some research on this. So Florida has its own kind of region or zone where it doesn't have to pay like municipal, like it covers all the cost of its infrastructure and the water, sewage, municipality type stuff. And so they're responsible for those taxes. And so it's almost like Disney is its own county or something. I'm not sure how you'd categorize it. So by dissolving that county status, that now means that, well, two big things. One is that Disney now is responsible to all the people in that region, right? So it's not just like they can operate independently. So now if they want to build a building, it has to go through all the normal permit process before. Like Disney could do whatever they wanted to. You know, they could build underground torture chambers, which they probably did, and they didn't have to get it approved by local county code. So, right?
Okay,
so,
we don't know if they did that, but we understand.
Well, that's why I said probably. You know what I mean? Like,
well, we do know for 100% truth that they do have underground tunnel systems, and if they don't have official codes through Florida, no one actually, they could hide the blueprint. They could develop tunnels or secret passageways that no one would ever know or have access to.
Dude, yeah. Ben, that is a fantastic point.
And what do you know that Disney has the pedophile symbols strewn throughout all of their toys and shows and their actual rides? Like It's a Small World ride where they literally have the symbol that the FBI has recognized as boy lover in their ride. So, you know, there's a little bit of guilty, you know, kind of red. There's a little bit of red flags there. But what it means, though, is when they dissolve that status, that now all the taxes of that area fall on the people of the surrounding regions that Disney becomes part of. So it does raise the taxes for those locally, which kind of screws them a little bit. But I think that that's just like normal. You know what I mean? Like Universal Studios, a lot of the other big theme parks, SeaWorld, they don't have that special tax status. It's just Disney.
Not even Universal Studios, which is right next to Disney. They don't even have it.
It's crazy. It's almost like Disney has some sort of special agreement with, say, the CIA or some of these governmental agencies. It just points towards that.
A corporation having a deal with the CIA? No.
Yeah. Oh, there you go, Lindsay. Thank you for
bringing up that's me. Spooky.
Yeah, this is spooky. There's a couple more of these. Sorry, I'm actually pulling this up because this is actually on my Facebook page. I actually posted some of these. So
I've seen some of this.
This is the one that's kind of weird,
man. That's exactly off of that document.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, some of these like that too, like why you know,
why put it on there? You know what I mean? Like that's the thing
this is just messed up.
Yeah, you can skip through that one quicker in case kids are watching.
It's four kids.
I know. Anyway. You're so right, Ben.
That's the thing.
You're
that's
so right. I know.
Like, I feel bad for sharing it.
Literally, we were just watching animated porn for a second.
Yeah. Did you guys see the recent picture of Lady Gaga wearing a pornographic shirt of the Snow White and the Dwarves?
Actually, that was like 2 years ago because we actually talked about that on our show.
Oh, okay, because it came up just after all the Disney stuff. But
yeah, well, it resurfaced all the stuff came up. Yeah,
gosh,
I was blown away by it. I'm like, and then isn't Disney want to sue her for this?
You would think.
They didn't take any action. They didn't make a statement. Well, they didn't say anything about it.
You know, I remember when I was younger, this may be, I don't know, high school age, and when it was discovered that Disney was sneaking in these sexual things into their shows. Like, remember, like, there's the phallic symbol on the cover of The Little Mermaid DVD or movie. There was the Lion King. It said sex in the sky.
Yeah.
And then there's Aladdin, where I think it was Jasmine or someone was talking, the tiger was talking,
it's
whatever.
The genie.
He's like, yeah, he's like, be actually, a good little girl and take off your clothes. Like, you could hear them say
it's
that.
It's Aladdin.
So, Aladdin, yeah. So yeah. Rob and I actually did a whole show about this recently. It's on Rumble, all about Disney.
Yeah.
We went into every single one of these and showed these.
It was just crazy, though. Even the old school, I think it was a Donald Duck thing, in the background they had, like, the iVision poster. It said, ask about the Illuminati.
The Illuminati,
right? But what's crazy is that when I was younger, I thought, like, why would they do that, right? how can they get away with it? Why do they do this? But now it just makes perfect sense. It's like, and there's a lot of people that have come out and said, look, like was Walt, like they thought Walt Disney was a great guy and like it kind of deviated. But if it's like, no, it's like, this has been a really bad company from the very beginning. It's insane.
Yeah. There's some scary digs on all of that you can get into, different books that are a little bit more, you know, under the radar. But we actually have to leave Facebook. We're going to stay on Rumble and Rise TV. So you guys, we have a trailer right now for Power of the Mind. The mind actually is much more powerful than any of us can even understand. And we did an entire, was it one show or was it a whole series that we did on that, Ben? I think it was like
two-part series.
Shows. I thought it was three, right. But it's two. Yeah.
It is two. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, you guys, listen, this is our notification that we're going live. So thank you guys for watching. We appreciate so much your support. If you can support us on Rise.tv, this is why we can do what we do, all the work that we do here. And we're constantly churning out new stuff every week for you guys. Both live shows and then behind the paywall as well. So if you guys can support us, if you can find it in your heart, we'd really appreciate it. Any of you boys have anything to add before we go over?
Nope.
All right. Roll it.
What came first, the chicken or the egg? How does the body know how to ride a bicycle or do the Macarena without thinking about it? What is the soul? If a tree falls in the forest and no one is around to hear it, does it still make a sound? And is there such a thing as mind over matter? People have been pondering deep questions for millennia, but it all goes back to one. What is consciousness, the body, mind, matter, or the soul? They say, I think, therefore I am. But what's the true power of our minds? How do our brains, minds, and spirits bring us things like works of art, inventions, music, and enlightenment? This may be the very deepest topic that exists in the cosmos. So let's dive deep into it. From the pineal gland to the brain, to the highest heights of heaven, to supernormal abilities. How does it all come together? You may have thought about it before, but you've never heard about the truth like this. Join Edge of Wonder for The Power of the Mind, Part 1. Fantastic Superpowers and the Brain.
Awesome.
Yeah. So if you haven't checked that out, be sure to check it out. It's a lot more inspirational and positive considering what's going on in the news in the past month. But so we were talking about Disney before we left Facebook. Did you guys see this?
What the heck?
What is that?
These are all so, Disney, old Disney stars, right?
This is Britney Spears on top. In the middle is Christina Aguilera, and at the bottom is Miley Cyrus.
And that's just the beginning.
That's just the beginning.
Oh, literally. Yeah. There's a lot more that you could pull from. And oh, we haven't my even, gosh. This doesn't even talk about the what's happened to the boys.
Ariana Grande is the other one that we could definitely throw into that mix too. Some of her videos that she did were just super disturbing as a child or as a teenager. And you know, if you're watching it as a teen, you wouldn't think anything of it, but after like what we know and seeing how they're directing her, it's like, oh man, this is actually like really disturbing stuff.
She was on Nickelodeon.
Sorry. Thank you.
They're all equally the
same.
Who
was it, Lindsay? Was it the creator of SpongeBob that you said? Or Ren and Stimpy. You said Ren and Stimpy, right?
So yeah, we're doing a large dig on that right now. Behind a lot of these cartoons, there's some really nefarious stuff, and we're going to have some great stuff for you guys pretty soon.
You mean some, maybe not great stuff.
Great that we're exposing the evil.
Like dark. Thank you for clarifying. Yeah.
Horrible stuff that we're exposing in a great way. How about that? So,
well, you guys, yeah.
So Rob, your Rob's stream is freezing a little bit. Just a reminder that Rob is coming to us live from a secret cabin in northern Canada.
Secret
so
bunker.
are we okay now? Can you see me?
Oh,
now we can.
Oh my god! Okay. Sorry, the mosquito just tried to bite me.
That's one of the Bill Gates mosquito.
After being in Florida, man, I'm kind of nervous about it. It's like, is this where mosquitoes come from? Really, you know, like there's a whole conspiracy about the ticks and upstate like
New York
and yeah,
that's true, man. I've looked into that stuff, and they're like ticks were a biological weapon, and the tick program, and I forget which island it is. There's an island off the coast of I think it's New York, or one of the areas right in that region, which is where they did all these experiments with ticks and everything. And I think that's actually where they released them. It's crazy.
It is.
Because I used to live in upstate New York, and there are so many ticks up there.
Yeah. And they're doing similar things with mosquitoes and bees, too, right now. It's crazy. Yeah. So, you guys, were you following that account, Wei Wu, on Twitter?
I was, but it got deleted, so...
I think we need to. Okay, so last night I was going through all of the tweets. There's another reason why I couldn't sleep, is they were too funny. They're hysterical tweets. And this morning I woke up and the account had been suspended.
Yeah.
So like some of these tweets are hilarious. Friend older sister is 31. Tell me she cannot find husband. I asked, what you do in 20s? She says she dated many men. Of course you can't find good husbands. You a slut.
So there was another one that was like that said, like, I'm excited. I'm going to go to Detroit. And it was like, Detroit is the butthole capital of America or something like that. And then I actually responded to it and I was like, yeah, you need to go to Columbus, Ohio. It's a lot better. And then people were like responding to that, but then the whole thing got deleted. So I don't know. Yeah, but anyway, it was just, but what was this? What was this in a reference to, Rob?
Well, this is the whole thing is, you know, some people thought this person was legit when they first came onto Twitter, but as they kept tweeting, it kind of became clear that somebody had created this account and it was a satire account, and that, you know, they had this brilliant idea that if they're a young Chinese girl, they're Asian, they're not white, and then they're talking about these things very openly, that it might fly under the radar or be even funnier. And it just worked to the advantage of the, you know, the troll, whoever it was. And even when people would be like, I love your satire, they'd be like, this serious, you know, like going off and being like, America going to explode from slots or whatever. And, you know, they were doing really funny things like, Lindsay, I'm not sure if you can find this one there, when they were calling transgenders transformers instead.
Well, actually, go ahead, Rob.
No, that's all right. I was kind of going with it. Yeah.
Oh, no, see, you have to give Detroit a little bit of credit. So I have to read Dos Nello commented. He's right. He says Detroit is a great place to buy crack.
Yeah. So there was another really funny tweet that she had where she was talking about everybody want to make America great again, right? You can make America great again. God can save anything, but not Detroit. God can't save Detroit. It was like Detroit, stuff like that. It was really funny.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, the sad thing is there's no more laughter from that because the zombies at Twitter have suspended her account, and we're not sure when she's going to get it back. So we'll have to see what happens with that.
Oh yeah, a quick one about bugs. So Ben, you had your mosquito problem. So I recently invested in, you know, all about self-defense and home defense. So I bought a gun, which is called the Bug Assault. And it is a rifle. It was like $40 on Amazon that you put table salt into it.
And, oh, I've
and
seen
then
those.
You cock it and it's like it hurts. Like I shot my hand with it. It hurts really bad, but it shoots salt at a fly at like high speeds and it kills the fly. Like it's brought out this like very primal part of me because I hate flies. And so I'll get my, I'm like, and I'm like walking around the house real slowly, waiting for the fly to land. I'm like, shoot.
And then meanwhile, you're like killing plants when they land on a plant.
Yes, or your foot, right? Like, but what was it called again, Seth?
It's called the bug assault.
Bug assault. That's hilarious, man.
Yeah.
All right. Here's another tweet from Wei Wu. No transformers. No perverts. Fear God. Made America great. Next president need get more Germans over. Hard workers, honorable.
That's so funny. Craziness.
Okay, so we haven't talked about this yet. The meet the woman behind libs of TikTok, secretly fueling the rights outrage machine. So this was this, the post, the article from Washington Post. Ben, go ahead. You want to introduce?
No. I just wanted to make it clear that this was the Washington Post that were, this is pretty serious because they were actually doxing this woman. And it was like, they did it on purpose. And this Taylor Lorenz chick, she's the one that like, was doing creating all these problems. So she actually figured out through this Washington Post article where the woman lived. She actually went to her home, knocked on her door. The woman had her on video that she filmed. They posted that up on Twitter and social media. And then everyone started going hard against libs of TikTok because they were saying, you doxed this woman. And they were like, what are you talking about? Like, she came to my house. This is like a threat. Like, why would this person come to my house? Like, I have every right to record anybody that comes to my house, you know? So it became a big issue. And all of this really started with a fake tweet that libs of TikTok didn't even write. So
they set her up.
They set her up completely. And actually, let me pull this up right now. This is the tweet that they... wasn't legit, and it was like kind of like anti LGBT, and so it upset all of these people. And it's like, you know, the first thing there's a lot of fake tweets out there from both sides, you know, people are sharing things.
It's incredibly easy to make one.
Oh, so easy. And yeah. It's just like a meme. And the first
I posted a tweet. Sorry, real quick, Ben. A tweet recently on my Telegram, and it was a tweet from CNN Plus that said, we have information about the arrest of Hillary Clinton. And like people, because CNN Plus got whacked. And then some people in the chat were like, wow, did they really see that? I couldn't find it on their Twitter profile. Like, it's a meme.
It's satire, right.
Sorry, Ben, to interrupt you. I had to
these things are kind of funny. And so the first thing that you really want to check with these things is the like likes and retweets. This is four likes and there are four retweets and two likes. So right there, that shows with an account that has like, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers or whatever, right there, that kind of shows, okay, something's going on. This is also from July, you know, so it's like, I don't know. And it's just so easy to check on these things to see if they're real or fake or whatever. So, you know, it's, oh sorry. Go ahead. Lindsay, you had that, right? There you go. That's not even their logo. It's not even CNN's logo. Like,
no, I think it's the CNN Plus logo.
Oh, it sorry. Is the CNN okay. Plus I'm logo. Sorry. That's their Plus logo. Okay. Which probably doesn't exist anymore anyway. So, but yeah, so I mean, you know, I've honestly been, there was the one about the WEF, a quote for supposedly from
Klaus Schwab.
Yes. And you know, I did originally share it, and then I realized like that it was not real, and that's what I was like double checking. But it's like, and I think a lot, like some of these, like we're talking about, some of these are being created by people on the left, you know, with an agenda, knowing that people like, you know, on the right are going to take these things in more in the truther community and repost these things, and then they come back in the media and then they criticize it and whatnot. But yeah, so anyway, this all started with this fake tweet, and that's how the whole thing happened. And honestly, it's like it's just really rough. It's like, dude, you guys are going after a freaking Twitter handle of some random thing. It's like, is it seriously creating that much of an impact?
Is that the only thing that mostly that lives of TikTok or TikTok of TikTok posts is like, it's just liberals posting on TikTok.
No, all they're doing is showing other people at their worst, really.
Yeah, there's nothing made up or fictional or Photoshop.
Or even commentary.
Or
like there's nothing. They're literally just like, airing their dirty laundry.
Yeah. It's like and this is what drives me crazy. And actually what really started, okay, I'm saying that post kind of started this, but what really happened was that there was they were calling out pedophiles. I'm trying to find the actual tweet here here it is. Okay. So the left will dox lib of TikTok for posting the videos of freaky teachers openly talking about how they groom children, but not the freaky teachers' priorities. Got it. So instead of going after the teachers, so what happened was there were literally libs of TikTok posted these teachers that were talking about grooming children. And that's what caused this whole thing to happen. And that's why they had this fake tweet, meme tweet that went around so they could try to leverage something and use against them. So instead of the media saying like, oh my God, who are these freaky teachers? Maybe we should look into them and see what's going on here. They just straight go after libs of TikTok. It doesn't make any sense at all. None. It's like they're protecting the people who are doing wrong instead of just a channel that's just reposting stuff that's already on the internet anyway. They're just collecting it and putting it all there so people can find it.
It's kind of crazy if you think about where we are as a society. And yeah. I mean, I guess you could say that like a million different ways, but if you look at what's happened with children in schools and the kind of stuff they're teaching kids about, you know, gender binary and all this kind of just garbage. It's like, if you could go back 10 years and look forward to that, you'd think there's no way that would be happening. But the crazy thing is that while it seems like, you know, obviously there's been a lot of resistance, people are fighting back against it. But the fact that it's become so mainstream, and the fact that you can tell this is already so deeply ingrained in the educational system. It's like, we should have been fighting this like 10 years ago. We should have been fighting it 20 years ago. But it's like, it's only now come forward. It's honestly like, it's very worrying to me. It's very concerning because I think it's like something like, I forget what the ratio is, but it's like 25 or 30% of like the younger generations identify as LGBTQ+ AI, it's, you know, 7, 4, 8, whatever the whole thing is, like the alphabet soup. And so it's insane, but it's so demonic. It's so dark, like what they're trying to do to the future children. I think, a big part of it is depopulation. It's like, okay, let's just take these young kids, convince them they're the opposite sex, get them on puberty blockers. Don't tell them that they can't have kids anymore. It's just, man, it's a really sad situation. Well, and I'm glad people fighting it, but it's, man.
Yeah. No, yeah, true. I mean, I think it is, you know, that's one part of it, potentially, with the, you know, population issue. But also, there's no way to take control of a society if you can't turn the traditional culture on its head, which we've seen before in various China. Places like Russia, yeah. China, particularly, which is, you know, still a very messed up place. And so what we're seeing here is the destruction and the flipping upside down of culture, not for no reason. I mean, this is the playbook in how you control an entire society and move it towards a globalist agenda or a socialist agenda. And then we become slaves of that. So yeah, I mean, turning them around and making it chaotic is necessary for them in order to do that. And that's why affect children? Well, if you affect the children at a young age, it messes the entire thing up. When parents no longer have that control over their child to craft them into a good person. And like, let's be honest, like most of us parents out there, I'm not a parent, but I just mean our age are, we're really messed up. There's a lot of people that grew up in this environment. We're really messed up, or like, we are a product of that entire thing, and we're no longer able to bring children up the way that we could. Now, I'm not saying you at home watching this aren't good enough to do that. I'm saying that this is what we're seeing across the board out there. I mean, it's not hard to go outside and see parents that don't know what they're doing, but they're doing the wrong things.
Well, so something,
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Ben. I was listening to this a few weeks ago, and Scott Kesterson of Bards FM had a way that he put it, which was probably one of the best ways of describing what they're doing to children I've come across. And he was basically, what he was saying is that it's MK Ultra.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how the whole critical race theory thing is part of the overall program, because he's saying, look, he's like, this is MK Ultra. He goes, first, what you have happen is you have these kids come in. They're what they're being taught is first through CRT, which they're being taught that like you are bad, right? So what they're doing is they're stripping them of their identity through critical race theory, especially what they're targeting is whites, right? They're telling kids if you're white, you're racist, etc. So what the first step of this, yeah, thank you, your critical race theory, the first step of this is they're breaking down the identities of the children. Because these children, you know, they grow up thinking, okay, my parents love me. You know, the world is a certain way. So the first step is this critical race theory, which it attacks the very identity of the children. It attacks them as they relate to their parents. It attacks them as they relate to their own selves. But then what they do is they confuse them even more with the gender stuff. So now they're saying, okay, now wait, I'm a white person, therefore I'm racist. Yeah, I'm this, like that starts shattering their identity, which that's MK Ultra is shattering their identity, right? It's fracturing their whole psychological makeup. So the next thing is that, you know, now it's like we don't know whether you're a boy or a girl. And it's like that screws with him. But then the crazy thing is that they make it so that the virtuous thing to do is to identify as a cisgender or as the opposite sex. And that's encouraged. But then what that does is that separates them from the community they're born into, because they know that, like, you know, for a lot of parents, if their kid comes home and says, daddy, like, I'm actually a girl, not a boy or whatever it is, that it separates them from their parents. So it's actually like, it is a multi-layered process of destroying the minds of children and making them into, in a lot of ways, into someone that is CIA mind control.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a clean slate. Whatever they tell you to think, you're going to think.
Exactly.
You're going to do.
It's so brilliant. It's so evil.
So evil.
I mean, this is exactly what you know, like when you're reading, if you read Fritz Springmeier, this is what exactly he talks about with, related. Specifically with Disney, I guess, you know, according to what he's saying, this is exactly it. You know, it's like you get kids in there and you do exactly this with the MK Ultra, and it's like, you know, kids are very vulnerable. They're figuring out who they are, you know. So, and the other aspect of this is the money. So actually, Blair White, who is a transgender person, she was on InfoWars kind of recently. I was listening, I guess I'll say, her talking, and she was saying that there's a lot of transgender people that were pushed. Like, let's say they liked a girl or something who were a guy, and that girl was like, you know, I want you to become a girl as well or something. And so anyway, they wanted to be liked. And so a lot of them are not doing it because for themselves, they're doing it for other people. They're doing it because they feel like society is pushing them to do this, whatever it is. And doctors are encouraging it because the surgeons are getting so much money from this. So this, there's a whole money scheme aspect. And then they tell him like, oh, it's okay. If you, you know, if you're a girl and you want to, if you want to become a guy, you can get a breast reduction. And in the future, if you decide to go back, you can always get breast implants, you know? And she was like, it doesn't work this way. Like, it doesn't work this way at all. And once you take testosterone, you lost your voice is gone. Mm-hmm. And there's all these videos on TikTok and on Instagram of people that got the surgery or started taking testosterone that are truly regretting it. And TikTok and Instagram are starting to delete these videos. And so she had him on her channel showing some of these videos and talking about it actually. And that's what one of the things she was talking about, I think, with Alex Jones too. And just how like this whole thing is a very evil and dark tactic that they're using, specifically targeting with kids. And it's like, you know, it's like this is a life-changing thing. And when you're a teen, you don't even know really who you are, what you're doing, and you're still discovering yourself in all different ways. So if you're doing this as a teen and then, like, you know, a couple years go by and then all of a sudden but you start regretting it, then it's like it's really hard to go back. And there's plenty of videos about this. And it's not that anyone's coming out criticizing anybody or what, you know, whatever, you know, there's very specific people that are like, yeah, you know, I'm happy with, I did this. And then there's other people that are like, I'm not happy, but it's like, they're only showing one side of this. Like social media is only allowing one side of this.
Yeah. It's insane. It's crazy. So someone asked, I think it was Dr. Keith that Dr. Keith said, who's funding this? And gosh, I mean, I think that it's a combination of the globalist organizations, the UN, the World Health Organization, the teachers' unions, honestly, CCP. CCP wants to see our children destroyed, right? Yeah. They know that, you know, like Stalin, the communists, like they were the kings of knowing how to, the importance. I think it was either Lenin or Stalin that had a famous quote, which I'm going to butcher it a little bit, which is something to the effect of, like, give me a child for like the first few years of their life and I will plant a seed that will never be uprooted. Right. So they
that was
knew.
Lenin.
Thank you, Lindsay. They knew the importance of taking over the children. So,
well, and you know, to answer that question, it's us funding it, because where are our taxes going? Where are all of our money going to these corporations, and how are they using that money? The corporations carrying out these agendas are at the bidding of their shareholders, and their shareholders right now are all about agenda, not profit. And the agendas are all tied into that 2030 agenda from the UN that the WEF has been pushing through, you know, their what is it called? Environmental social governance or whatever. Yeah. Did I freeze?
Yeah, but we can hear you. We could definitely hear you, but your face froze.
Sorry, guys. Well, anyway, yeah, so, you know, this stuff is, okay, there it is. Give me 4 years to teach the children and the seed I have sown will never be uprooted. You know, it took a lot, well, to some extent, took longer here. They took their time a little bit more, but now they're really going in and manipulating our children, because the parents can't do anything. The parents no longer have control. The family, the nuclear family has all but been destroyed, very close to being utterly destroyed, you know, and then there's a revival at the same time going on. So while all of that's happening, there's also a revival going on and people that want to go back to tradition. And so we have this insane world we live in right now.
It is. So, hey, Lindsay, to give you a little heads up. So Mindy was asking, there's a graphic that I shared on Telegram only a couple of hours ago that was originally from Ian Smith, and it was showing the charts of the ship backlog in China. And it's actually, so Mindy was just asking if we could pull it up, because this is a really, really important, this graph to show, and I know that I caught you off guard here with this, but basically what's happening with the shutdowns in China right now are so extreme, but how it's going to affect the global supply chain is like, it's out of this world actually. So I won't talk anymore until the graph gets pulled up by Lindsay, but we should just touch on that for a minute or two. Okay, here we go. Because you guys, I know you guys covered the food shortage stuff in your show. So this is from Ian Smith, who says, Shanghai's backlog of ships is quite literally off the chart, even compared to the disturbances last year. U.S. and global supply chains are about to go from severely strained to completely broken. Need it, buy it now, and buckle up. So just this chart is insane. So if you scroll down, Lindsay, for the bottom of that. So this is done by year. So the teal one, for instance, is 2021. And you can see this is ships waiting to load or discharge at Shanghai, which is a massive shipping port for China. And look at the red right there. Like the worst of the lockdowns from COVID period, it's like this is insane. So again, I don't want to be kind of a fearmonger, but I also don't want to keep our head in the sand, because this is something that this will affect a lot of things. That's nuts. Like, it literally is off the chart.
That is.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of different things going on with China, like she proposing a global security initiative without giving details, really. Did you guys see that? It's very vague. Actually, Lindsay, you should pull this up. It's a Reuters. I think it's a video too. It has a video in there.
I didn't see this, so I actually don't know what this is really. Global security initiative.
Yeah, play that.
There's a long ad. Hang on.
Okay.
Oh, man, all these news sites are so annoying these days. And then also we've got some other actually funny stuff to show you regarding China, but there's a lot going down in China right now people would be surprised. I saw a video yesterday of basically tons and tons of food being destroyed. It was like all the food that should be in the supermarkets were destroyed.
Yes,
I reached out to some people who, speak fluent Chinese, and they were saying, do you know why they're doing this? I said, no. And they were like, it's related to the zero COVID cases campaign that they're running. So that they're claiming that all of the food is contaminated with COVID-19, and they're destroying all of the food. So all of the food that these people could be eating, basically just getting destroyed. It's ridiculous. Do you have that up now, Lindsay?
No, their site is having an issue where even the ad isn't loading.
Okay, sure. Well, anyway, he gives a lot of vague details about, I don't mean to be racist or anything like that, but oftentimes these Chinese political speeches will be very vague, and they're not saying anything, but then they expect you to get a lot out of it. And it was very New World Order-y, China can kind of you know what I'm trying to say.
Xi Jinping is the master at this. Like he gave a 3-hour speech about the CCP policy, and it was just like party jargon. It's the most boring thing that you would ever hear.
It's terrible. It's unwatchable.
But it's like in this 3 hours, there's always these little one sentence that he will say in the middle of these 3-hour long speeches that basically summarizes everything that he's trying to say without saying it directly. And this is just stereotypical mainland Chinese kind of thing.
Yeah, this.
I don't know if this is the same one you were looking for.
It is. It is, actually. Can you go back to the beginning? We'll just read it for everyone. Together.
It's unacceptable.
Okay, so all countries in the world are in a giant ship on which our shared destiny hinges. To cross the waves and sail toward a bright future, we must work together. It's unacceptable to try to throw anyone into the sea. Today, the international community has developed into a complex, delicate, and organic machine. Whatever that means. The dismantlement of any component will make the whole machine face serious difficulties in operation. Okay. The dismantled side will be damaged. Thanks, Shi. And the side that's dismantled, it will also be damaged. Also, thank you.
What does that even mean?
And then it ends.
It's like basically this whole thing is going to fall apart.
But they missed the most essential part, which is after that, he goes and says that China needs to be leading the way in this.
Interesting.
You know? The crazy thing with this is that, you know, your average person could watch 3 hours of that and be like, yeah, they didn't really get it. He kind of beat around the bush and stuff. But like, like a scholar like Matt Robertson or, you know, like Jeff Nyquist, they'll watch that and they'll be like, he's laid out his plan for global domination.
That's how it is.
No joke. This is what they do.
Saying that without saying it. That's what that means.
No, because that's why they give these 3 hour speeches, because they know no one's going to be listening to Xi Jinping talk for 3 hours unless you're forced to listen to it, right? So then it's like in the middle of it.
Song stuck in my head.
Yeah. In the middle of it, they just, he'll like literally reveal a plan in the middle of it. And then it's like, you know, only people who are paying attention will catch on to it. And it's all in Chinese anyway. So you have to really pay attention to what's going on, and that's what I thought, like, you know, people at the Epic Times did that really well.
Now, you guys, the lockdowns in China have been like awful. Did you guys catch this thread about this grandma in China?
I saw it floating around. Dude,
this is hilarious.
Yes. Ben, did you want to walk us through this?
Well, let's see, Lindsay, we'll just play this and then you guys can see. Well,
this is sad, but it's also funny
at the same time.
And this is the first part. It says, I've never witnessed this level of badassery. 95-year-old grandma in Shanghai tests positive for COVID, about to get sent away, but fends off six workers in hazmats with her cane until they give up.
Yeah, this is hilarious. Okay,
then it goes on.
I was thinking
later in the day, they seal her apartment with steel plates. She rips them off and takes a stroll around the neighborhood. The next day, after three more attempts, they finally get her to the quarantine camps. Oh, never mind. She jumped the walls. She's still fighting. Look at her.
It's so sad, man. Like, dude, just leave her alone. Like, what the heck?
Look, she just isn't having it.
Get away from me. Man, you're a woman.
They're like Chinese stormtroopers.
Seriously, man.
Those are the lamest stormtroopers on the planet.
Well, they're Chinese.
They couldn't even get the stormtrooper suit right. It was plastic and tape.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, yeah. And then here, so you see, like, she's just, somebody said, even I can't jump that wall, wrote one netizen. They call them netizens in China because none of them can get out.
Net, like net citizens, yeah. It's crazy. It really is. It's sad, especially in Shanghai, like what's going on over there, because the mainstream media is not talking about really how bad it is and how suppressed the people are over in Shanghai. And they're not talking about it because they're controlled by the CCP. So go figure. And
I'm glad that we cover that, and all of us come from backgrounds of understanding China and working on you know, China, Hong Kong, et cetera. Because honestly, I think that what we're going to see in the next 6 months, like, China is going to become a major focal point. Like, I think that there's something about what's happening there. There's something really off about what's happening in Shanghai. Like, really, really off.
It really is.
Yes.
Well, boys, it's time for us to play our transhumanism trailer, and we have to say goodbye to Rumble. But for all those that are watching on Rumble, first off, thank you for being with us this first hour. And we'd love to see you come over to Rise TV, because we're going to get into the Dig Deep, which is always awesome. And then we have Weirder News, which is, if you thought like the first half was funny, when do you get to Weirder News?
I heard it was particularly weird today. Is that true?
It is. It is. Okay. Yeah. This is really good stuff that came out today. So we're going to get into all of that.
We should have a segment called Beirder News too.
Beirder News. That sounds good.
Hey guys, did you want to do the prep tip before the trailer or after?
Oh, we can do it before. So yeah, prep tip of the week coming to you from Man in America via Rise TV is to build a library. Now, this is a sounds kind of like a big thing, but actually the whole idea is that any skills you want to learn, important information you want to have, buy it in book format. Like a lot of people, they think about prepping and they want to buy beans or bottled water or whatever. But actually buying books is one of the best ways that you can prep, even books for, say, emergency medicine or books about natural healing, right? So in the future, maybe you won't have the opportunity to go to the local doctor's office to get a prescription to bring, you know, to help bring a fever down or whatever. There's a lot of books that show you herbal remedies, et cetera. Also, you know, like I've got books that cover medicine, you know, plants you can eat, how to eat, you know, forage plants for eating, gardening, raising animals. So I just, you know, focus on building a library of books. And also if you go to like, not Amazon, because their used book prices are like the same as new. It's kind of weird, but go to, you know, used bookstores and stuff. There's a lot of books that no one wants anymore that are amazing resources. So that's the prep tip for you this week, is to focus on building a physical library, because if you lose access to the internet or your computer doesn't work anymore, you still have these resources, which could be lifesavers in the future.
Yeah, get those books before we're no longer able to buy books. We can't make paper because we can't cut down trees because of climate change. Get those books.
Yep. All right, everyone. We'll see you on Rise TV.
Transhuman.
Part ape. Part human hybrid. Cyborgs and Terminator technology. Already existing. Sentient robots becoming indistinguishable from people. No, it's not the plot of the newest Matrix movie. This is our reality, a transhumanist one. How does transcending humanism tie into eugenics, Darwinism, and even cloning? Is there any part of our world that transhumanism hasn't touched? Is resistance futile? How can we rage against the machine?